This is Doug Miller. 10th chapter of Acts. We're about to see a bunch of Gentiles get saved, and it's a wonderful thing. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more with the Word of God in hand to speak into this mic and to see this Word go out. Out as far as we can get it, to as many as we can get it out to the ends of the earth if we can get it out there. And in fact, in a sense, it is out there. We've got our web page up, and it's running, and it's on the World Wide Web, and people anywhere out there, from here to Siberia, I suppose, if they can understand English, can pull these, pull the page up and download these broadcasts and listen to the Word. So it's a very great privilege, and I might add a great responsibility for us to be able to do this. And we need your prayers, and we need your support. So please pray for Dialogue. And we're going to begin in the 10th chapter of Acts today. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of doing exactly what we're doing right here, right now. This is it. If you're waiting for something fancier, this is what we do. We just get this word out. And once again, as you've heard me say many times, we are utterly dependent on our listeners for support, prayers, word-of-mouth advertising. We are not a fancy ministry with a lot of fancy, gimmicks or anything like that, and we're not going to be. Any money that we have is going back into this broadcast to get this word out. So pray for us, and we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We would be glad to hear from you, to help you in any way we can, to provide any kind of materials that we can, and in general, just to help you out. And let's see, our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, and you can read about Dialogue and pull down our, get the broadcasts and so forth. And we've got our email, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. If you don't want to write us, you can email us. What else? I believe that will do it. Let's get into Acts 10. Now, I know last week I spent the entire program talking about the last part of the ninth chapter of Acts. And I realized that probably there were some that were offended by what I had to say. For those of you who are looking for miracles and waiting and watching for miracles and you want to see miracles, I think that you are way off base on that. I think you need to hear the Word of God and respond to the Word of God. And that's where faith comes from, and salvation is by grace through faith. And if you have to see miracles before you believe, I think you're being deceived badly. But I want you to remember that the period of time we're looking at here, the New Testament hadn't even been written. None of it had been written yet. And we have the Old Testament. But a lot of these people didn't really even have Old Testaments. And they just didn't have what we have today. The Word of God had not been completed and was not out there the way we have it today. And therefore, God was dealing in ways that he's not dealing with people today. It is just that simple. Now, in the 10th chapter of Acts, we have a man who is a Gentile. Up to now, God has been dealing with Jews. Either Jews or the half-Jew Mishling Samaritans or the Jewish proselyte who was the Ethiopian eunuch. But his dealings are pretty well confined to Israel up to this time. We have got in the 10th chapter of Acts an outright Gentile. This man is not Jewish. He's not even kind of Jewish. He doesn't claim to be Jewish, nor does he indicate that he wishes to be a Jew. He is Roman, and a Roman officer, a centurion. And we have in the 10th chapter of Acts a great turning point. A great divide is crossed here. Something is going on now that has not gone on up to now. And aren't you glad if you are listening to me and you're a Gentile? Now, this guy talking to you is purely Gentile. I am not Roman. I'm Irish with a little German thrown in. And I want you to remember how these Jews felt about Gentiles back then, and many of them still do. I don't know. I don't know how. I think most of the Jews that I know don't feel this way. They don't seem to, anyway. They've always treated me all right. But back then, I mean, the Gentiles were unclean. They were dogs. The Jews had nothing to do with them and wanted nothing to do with them. And the Jews, as far as they were concerned, and this includes the apostles as well, Peter, James, John, all of these men, they had no earthly idea that God was going to send this gospel out to the Gentiles. They were still thinking in terms of the kingdom of the Messianic kingdom, the kingdom that the Lord Jesus came announcing, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Every one of Peter's sermons centers in on this notion. The sermons that we saw from of Peter, the earlier ones, calling Israel back to repentance, calling them to accept Jesus as Messiah, promising them very clearly that God would send Jesus back. And I don't think Peter was mistaken about this. I believe very certainly that Jesus was waiting and would have come back. Of course, God knew what was going to happen, and he knew all along what he was going to do. But the Gentiles, these Jews, as far as they knew and as far as they understood, salvation such as it was came through keeping the law, keeping the Ten Commandments, obeying the commandments of God. Here were individuals who were circumcised, who were meeting in the synagogues, who were keeping all of the dietary and ceremonial laws. Peter, James, John, all of them. And the Gentiles, well, what were they? Well, as I say, they were dogs. They were out there in darkness. Idol worshippers, heathen. They didn't have the law. They weren't even circumcised. They weren't keeping the law. They weren't, coming in and having the for the atonement on the great day of Yom Kippur and so on. They weren't doing any of that. They were just out there in darkness and heathendom and worshiping idols of various sorts. And yet, even in that situation, there were some who, for reasons that I can't begin to tell you, were being dealt with by the one true and living God. And this man Cornelius is one of them. Now let's take a look at him. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion out of the band called the Italian band. All right, now a centurion was a man He was kind of like a lieutenant, I suppose, in our army today. He had command of 100 soldiers. Centurion, century, got it? Okay. And he was a centurion, Cornelius was. And he was, we are told here in verse 2, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, why was he this way? Well, I don't know. I don't know. But apparently, now I'm just making a guess here. Apparently, here is a man, he was posted, because he was in the army, to Jerusalem. And apparently, I say it to Jerusalem, I mean to Israel, to the nation of Israel down there. This was under Roman occupation at the time. And it is quite possible that once he was there, he came in contact with some of the Jews. I can assure you that in any of the synagogues that were out in the dispersion among the Greeks, and no matter where they were, there were always Gentiles that hung around there. There were Gentiles who, by the grace of God, understood that the Jews had the word of God, that they were indeed calling on the true God. There were Gentiles who, by God's grace, understood that all of these many gods of the Gentiles were all idols, that there was nothing to any of it. There were Gentiles who sought the word of God. And we will see them as we get a little farther into the book of Acts in the ministry of Paul. And Cornelius was apparently one of these. He feared God and his whole house. And he was a praying man. Now, I have heard people say, I remember a very famous, well-known preacher who said one time, and I heard him say it, God doesn't hear the prayer of Jews. And why would he say that? Well, because he was mistaken, that's why. He went on to say, and I've heard this from other sources too, the only prayer that God will hear from an unsaved person is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, I don't know about that. That's a limb I'm not willing to go out on. Because here was a Gentile. His name was Cornelius. Was he saved? He was not saved. Let's make no mistake about this. This man was lost. And yet he was praying. He was a devout man. He understood who God was. He understood and knew something about the true God and his whole household. And he was praying. Did God hear his prayers? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't discourage anyone from praying out there. I don't care who they are or what they are. Does God hear them? Well, yes, I think he does. And I believe that the individual, if God has got hold of that individual, and God is moving and leading that individual, there's a reason for it. God's getting ready to save Cornelius and his whole house. He's getting ready to do a wonderful thing here. And look at what we have in verse 3 here. He, that is Cornelius, saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? Now, once again, as I said last time, I am going to say again, if you are waiting for some vision, for some miracle to occur, if you're out there and you're listening to me and you are lost, and you know that you're lost, or you don't know that you're saved, if you're sitting there saying, well, I don't know whether or not I'm saved at all, ask yourself this, was there ever a time when you got saved? Was there a time when you believed in the Lord Jesus and received him as your Savior, when he took hold of you and opened your eyes to the truth and changed your life? If you can't look back and say to yourself, yes, it happened right there and in that place, and I know where it happened and when, if you can't say that, maybe you'd better take a closer look at yourself. Maybe you're not saved at all. Cornelius wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. If Cornelius had died right at the end of verse 3, and before he went any farther, he would not have been in heaven, even though he is characterized as a devout praying man and one who feared God. He wouldn't have been in heaven. And I'll show you why very quickly here. Why this is the case. He wasn't saved. And yet God was dealing with him. God had hold of him. Now, some of you who are listening to me out there, you may be being dealt with by God. If you are, praise the Lord. If you, something may have happened. I don't know what your life is, and I don't know what you have done or how God is dealing with you. But if you are one of these kind of individuals, you are going through life, and maybe you've heard certain Bible verses, and you can't get them out of your head, and you can't get them out of your heart. And when you lie down to sleep at night, you're thinking about God. Maybe you are under some kind of conviction. Maybe the Lord has said to you, you're not saved. You need to get saved. Maybe you're in this kind of circumstance. You'd better thank God for it, and you had better listen to him and be drawn by him. You had better not put this thing off or push it away or turn it away. Because he who hardens his heart can get in a situation where God cannot and will not deal with him anymore. Now, I'm telling you, this is serious business. Don't look for an angel to come and talk to you. You listen to the word of God, but as I said earlier, Cornelius didn't have the word of God. And here he was, and this angel came to him. And I want you to look at what the angel says. Now, first off, do you suppose this angel knew the gospel? Do you suppose he could have told Cornelius the gospel? I believe so. And yet the angel didn't tell Cornelius the gospel. What he said was, look at it. At what he says in verse 4 and over into verse 5. He said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So much for God not hearing the prayers of sinners. Whatever Cornelius was praying, I don't know what it was, but I can tell you this, God heard, and God is moving to answer. And here is the answer. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Marvelous. Do you think, once again, the angel couldn't have told him? Probably could have. But it wasn't given to the angel to do this. In this time and in this age in which we are living, it is men and women who are spreading the gospel, not angels from heaven. The angels, you might say, could do a much better job of it than we can. I don't know about that, but I know this. God is not giving it to angels. He has given this to us. And if you are saved, I want you to think you are the angel in this case. It is you who have the gospel in hand. It is you who can go to your neighbors, who can tell them that he, Jesus Christ our Lord, died to save us all, that he was buried and rose again. It is you who can go to your family and to your friends. And in this case, of course, Peter was the one who was to open the gate of salvation to the Gentiles. He opened it to the Jews earlier. He has the keys of the kingdom, as it were, in hand, and now he's going to use one of those keys. And look at this, but he's going to be dragged kicking and screaming down there, isn't he? It's kind of interesting to see what happens. The angel, when he spake unto Cornelius and was departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Yes, he did. He didn't waste any time. Here is a man who puts feet to his prayers. Once again, I don't know what Cornelius had been praying exactly. I can't give you the words or the language, but here is a man who is obedient to the Lord. He does what the Lord says. The Lord sends an angel, and Cornelius moves. He gets into action, and he does it quickly. Now, let's take a look at Peter, and we're going to have to take this up again next time because we're running out of time. But here is Peter in verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, at sixth hour is noon. It's about noon. He's up on the housetop, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, down below in the kitchen, rustling up some grub, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, what is this all about, anyway? Well, I can tell you real quickly what it's all about, and some of you have read this many times. I suppose that many of you out there have read this, and you know very well what's going on here. Peter is about to be sent down to a bunch of Gentiles to preach the gospel. Peter, as a good Jew, is not interested in having anything to do with a bunch of Gentiles. He thinks at this point that he understands what God is doing and that the whole gospel message centers in on Israel and on the people of Israel. And the idea that a bunch of uncircumcised Gentiles are going to be saved and brought in and cleansed and are going to be in heaven because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the idea that Jesus Christ died for a bunch of unclean, uncircumcised Gentiles is utterly and absolutely foreign and alien to Peter. He wouldn't have believed this. I mean, if it had been anyone other than an angel and God himself talking to him, I'll guarantee you, Peter would not have listened to it for a minute. Because, once again, he is totally centered in on the nation of Israel. But God is getting ready to go way beyond anything Peter ever imagined or dreamed of. You know, it's possible for us to get into situations where we limit God, isn't it? Where we think we know what he is doing, and where when he does things beyond our little narrow imagination, we're not willing to go along with them at all. We'll take a look at this in future programs and see what God does. You come back and listen to it. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.